either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا صاحبي السجن أرباب متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam is in prison in Egypt, and we have two inmates who put forward their dreams in front of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, and Yusuf alayhi salam gave them the comfort and the guarantee that this is the knowledge that Allah has given me, and inshaAllah I will for sure give you the right answer. But then he took an opportunity that there is something which is more important than what you put forward, and I want your complete attention. So now Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam is actually giving them advice. And that advice is the importance of tawheed, the importance of understanding that there is only one God. By Allah, my respected brothers, alhamdulillah, many of us, we are born in that state of Iman and Islam, and many have had to search for the truth, and Allah has guided people. But there is no blessing, there is no ni'mah like worshipping only one God and worshipping Allah. This tawheed is the greatest ni'mah. That is why anbiya, the messengers, at any opportunity given, they would seize that second. Those few seconds, they would take it. Let me give you an example. If, mashallah, for a few days, yesterday, today, we've had, mashallah, beautiful weather, very, very hot. Now imagine if the sun is right on top of your head and there is a hole or an opening in the ceiling. Then wherever there is an opening, the sunlight, the rays of the light will enter from it. Am I right? Immediately you will notice that. So wherever there are cracks, you might be in your back garden, in your shed, and it's made out of wood, and you see there's a lot of, you know, gaps and holes and cracks, and if it's a nice hot day, you can actually see this rays, this line of light coming, mashallah. And so, nothing can stop the light. Nothing can stop the light. That is how the messengers are. That whenever they see an opportunity that there is, the heart is not sealed, there is a bit of opening. There is a bit of opening, there is a bit of a crack. There is a possibility that, you know, by saying something to him, there is faida, there is benefit, they seize onto that opportunity very quickly, mashallah. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, when he saw these two individuals were coming very, very close, and yet they were not Muslims, MashaAllah, he said to them, look, you know what? I follow the teachings of my fathers who were the messengers, Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub. Ma kana lana an nushrika billah. You know, it does not suit a human being that he would do shirk to associate any kind of a relationship, partnership to God Almighty. Min shay'in, you know, even to something which is very less minute to you. Dhalika min fadlillahi alayna wa ala nas. And this is the great bounty, you know, the mercy, the fadl, the ni'mat of Allah, that Allah has given us this mindset that we believe in one Allah. So when you believe in one Allah, that means the tuning of the mind and the heart is right. What is it? The tuning of the mind and the heart is right. You know, one day there was an issue with my boiler at home. And so the plumber came. So I met him and he was doing all his stuff. So he goes to me, gee, you know, there's a pressure gauge here. And so when the pin of the pressure gauge goes this way, then you won't get hot water. So constantly the pin must stay on this side. Constantly the pin must stay. And so when you have the pin of the heart, the needle of the heart towards Allah, and when the needle of the heart is towards Allah, that means that your heart is connected with the mind, and that means that now you have the ability to focus things right. That is why our ulama say, the most foolish person is that person who does not understand tawheed. Who does not understand tawheed. You know, you can be a barrister fighting a case, you know, earning thousands of pounds, you know, for 1 hour you might be earning £2,000. But if you are not a man of tawheed, you are really a fool. You are a foolish man. You have not understood what is right and what is wrong. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this ni'mah and this blessing. And so I want the brothers to listen to me very attentively. MashaAllah, when our foundation is strong and when we listen to the Qur'an enters the heart. This is the beauty. There is no other book that has such an impact but the Qur'an. So now Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam is saying in verse 39, Ya sahibay sijn, O my two companions of the prison. O my two companions of the prison. Look at that. How politely, in a loving manner, bringing them close. You know, they were criminals. You know, here Yusuf alayhi salam is taking criminals as, you know, potentially there's one of them has had a chance to kill the king of the time. This is what he wanted to do. So they are guilty. So he's saying that, oh my friends of the prison. And the next statement, subhanallah, how Quran puts it is amazing. أَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارُ. And so, the Quran is saying, Yusuf alayhi salam said to them, listen to me very carefully. The one God. What did he say? The one God. Qahhar. Who is the most powerful. Is he not better than the many diverse gods that you are worshipping? The many diverse gods that you are worshipping. So now Yusuf alayhi salam is wanting to tune the mind and the heart. So he is putting logic. Look, think about it. In a kingdom there is one king. You don't have two kings. In a kingdom you have one king. When a congregation, you know, in Haram there are 3 million, 4 million people praying at the time of Hajj. How many imams are there? Two? Are you sure? Okay, mashallah, Imam Al-Faruq gave fatwa. One. So let's stick to one. One imam. How many? One imam. Subhanallah. There is only one imam. A Nabi that comes. Now remember, in one time they can have, many prophets can come, you know, one or two. But even if there is another prophet, he will be under that one Nabi. Nabi is only one who comes with laws, who comes with regulations. So for an example, Musa and Harun both were brothers. Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, both were brothers. And Harun alayhi salam was elder, older than Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. But Nabuwat and Risalat was given to the younger brother, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Therefore, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam had to listen to who? Musa alayhi salam. Nabi is only one. Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, will come because it is one of the signs of the day of Qiyamah. But when he comes as an ummati, but he will follow who? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is saying, look, you know what is the matter with you? You know, how many gods are you going to worship? What I am telling you, what my fathers who were prophets came to you and they said to you, worship one God, one God, one God. Isn't that better than so many gods that you people have invented, concocted? This is the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا. Anything that you are worshipping besides Allah. What is the Quran saying? Anything that you are worshipping besides Allah, what are they? أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا. They are only names that you have invented. سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا. There is no reality. There is no حَقِيقَةً. You know, it is your imagination. It is just the names that you have concocted. And your forefathers. Then Allah is saying, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِن سُلْطَانٍ. Allah has not revealed any sanction, any proof, any dalil of them to be, أَلْيَازُ بِاللَّهِ deities. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِن سُلْطَانٍ. And Allah is saying, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. That the order is only of Allah. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. From day one, Allah gave an order that you worship none but Allah. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. And Allah is saying that this is the straight path. Islam is the straight path. Islam is the straight path. Now, my respected brothers, it is also very important that, mashallah, as we know about Islam, but we should also know the things that are around us. Now I know some of you are very educated, mashallah, and you know many things. But just for the benefit of the brothers that are here, and Qur'an-i Kareem, as Allah is saying that these are the names that you have invented and concocted, and there is no reality. It is your imagination. There is no reality, there is no tahqeeq that these people ever existed, or these things have ever happened. There is no record, no register, nothing that has happened. So now if we look at the gods that have been worshipped in this world, so that we should do shukr to Allah that Allah, you have made us from amongst the people of Iman. You have made us from amongst the people of Iman. We should appreciate. We should. That there was one man who did not have, you know, slippers. And he was walking barefoot. So in his heart, he was saying that, look at me, you know, I have nothing. But as he turned around, he saw a man who was so disabled that he didn't even have legs to walk on. He didn't have legs to walk. So that time he realized, Ya Allah, oh, you have put me in a very favorable position. So we should also understand that Allah has placed us in this favorable position, in this position so that we thank Allah. So let us go back. Let's not look at contemporary religion, but go back to the ancient religions and what they worshipped so that we appreciate. You know, who are the gods that Quran is speaking? That it is not one God. These are many, many gods, diverse. Mutafarriqoon, many, many. Different types of gods that you people have invented. So if you look at the ancient gods that people were worshipping, there is one that is called Zeus. What is it called? What is he called? Zeus. Now imagine, Zeus is a god in the ancient times that they would worship. He overthrew his father who was a god, Cronus. And then the siblings are also therefore gods. So he overthrew the father. Now there is a fight, there is a dispute who is going to be gods. So they drew lots with the brothers. And the brothers were Poseidon and Hades. So Zeus won the draw. Zeus won the draw. And he became the supreme leader of the gods. He became the supreme leader of the gods. Now imagine, these were actually the gods that people were worshipping. So who is Zeus? Subhanallah. He was the god of the skies. The god of the skies. And he was carrying this lightning bolt. And the Roman name given to him is Jupiter. Even now the planets are named after these shirky names. Jupiter. Shabir bhai. That's the case, isn't it? And then Hera was the wife of Zeus. Now imagine, these were gods but they got married. So Hera was the wife. And who was she? The goddess of marriage. The goddess of marriage. Let's look and analyze. It's so important, my respected brothers. Don't think that, oh, you know what, this is history and history lessons. No, no. We need to value. Allah could have put us in that position. Allah could put us in any position. Do you not see today intelligent people doing the most foolish things? Intelligent people doing the most foolish things. And she is the goddess of marriage. And then Poseidon is the god of the sea. So they would have the god of the sea. And Iris is the god of war. And his symbol was this bloody spear. And in the Roman terminology, he was known as Mars. He was known as Mars. So these were the ancient gods. Slowly the Roman Empire, from all these gods, they decide that you know what? There's another man out whose name is Jesus. There's another man out whose name is Jesus. Now, these are all our gods. We've got so many gods. Jupiter, Zeus and Mars and Jupiter and this and that and this and that. Now in Palestine, we have another group of people that he is talking about one Allah. He is talking about one Allah and Jesus. So now this transformation that takes place. So the Romans had decided that, you know what, we will make peace and we will combine. So the people who took al-Iyazu Billah, Jesus in a Trinity form or as the Son of God. So from many gods, these were a group of people who took three in one. They took three in one, but also worship. They also had the shirk element in them. Now, contemporary gods, before we come to Christianity. So all of us here, my respected brothers, people who come from the Asian community, you will see that we come from India, Pakistan, India, that part of the world. So today also, if you look at India and the gods that they are worshipping, this is what Allah is saying, that it is baseless. These are names that you have made yourself. Your forefathers have made. Somebody must have been telling a story and, you know, this person heard the story and that person said it to that person, and there is no reality, there is no hakikat of these individuals. It is an imagination. So now they say one god is, you know, Hindu gods, 330 million gods. How many? I haven't got time for 330 million gods here. Otherwise you'll be yawning, sleeping and tired. And you say, Mauli sahab, a kyu bayan karu tumhe? Right? So we won't go. We will just, you know, quickly analyze. Now, I'm saying this so we appreciate. What is it? Shukar hum kare. Kya hai? No, you go out and eat food somewhere and then you have better food in your own house. We've got to understand what is in-house is much better. What is in-house is much better. Brahman, he is the creator of all, of everything. He is the, according to Hinduism, he created everything. He created everything including his own wife. So he is the god Brahman and he created everything, but he created everything, he still had to fulfill his desire, he says, and he wanted a woman. So Brahman also created his own wife. And then, you know, it doesn't make, a person does not understand. Then you have Vishnu. So who is Vishnu? You know, he is the one who keeps the cosmic order in control. Now Vishnu was a god who is very fond of snakes. Very fond of snakes and holds weapons in his four hands. Now even these four hands, five hands, we don't understand. Shiva is the destroyer. He comes in many, many forms. Then comes Ganesh god. Ganesh is famous. He's got the elephant head. What is he? Elephant head. Now shockingly, one god kills another god. So Ganesh, what he did, Shiva was angered. Shiva was angered. Shiva got angry. We won't go into the story. And he cut off the head of Ganesh. So when Shiva cut off the head of Ganesh, they were looking for a replacement. You know, what should we do? The head is out. It was easy just to put his head back. But there was a poor elephant walking past and, you know, they cut his head off and put that elephant head on Ganesh. So Ganesh is now one of the most famous gods in India. Now imagine, this is what the Quran is telling us. It's Quran, if we read the, this is what Allah is saying. What is the matter with you? What is the matter with humanity? I have sent so many prophets, one by one. I mean, if you look at all the prophets, even in the Bible, the Jewish script, everywhere it's one God, all of the messengers. But how Shaitan plays with the mind. Shaitan plays with the mind and he goes away. And then after Ganesh comes Krishna. Krishna is the eighth incarnation of Vishnu. Now Krishna is a very famous god because he's got many love stories. He has got many. He was a very romantic type of god. What was he? And some have said that he has as many as 16,000 wives. How many? As many as 16,000 wives. Pata nahi kahan se waqt milta hoga isko. Right? So anyway, you'll find that Krishna is quite famous. Then comes Ram. Ram is supposed to be a warrior. What is he? So he's a warrior god, blue skinned. So this warrior became blue skinned. And he had a mission to fight Ravan. And after fighting Ravan to snatch from Ravan Sita, and he gets married to Sita because his strength was such that he was bending the bow of Shiva. So when he started to bend the bow of Shiva, you know, they said that this guy is very strong. And anyway, he got married to Sita, the seventh incarnation of Vishnu. So many incarnations. Kali is one of their goddess. You know, she's got multiple arms. Sometimes, you know, the pictures I have seen is that, you know, she's got a decapitated head and plenty of heads under her and blood coming out. And she's got this red tongue like that. It comes out. And, you know, you can get scared. You can get scared. In fact, the late Ahmad Didad would say that some of the gods, you know, if you show a child, they would get nightmares. Right? So, and then finally let's end to the monkey god whose name is Hanuman. What is his name? Hanuman. Now, who was Hanuman? Hanuman was a prankster. What was he? A young man who would mess around a lot and he became the monkey god. So these are the gods. Now you want to ask, were they real individuals? Were they people like that? I mean, have you seen a man who's an elephant human walking and things like that? Monkey and things like that? Allahu Akbar Kabira. And every morning, then what, these are contemporary gods. Every morning, they have to wake up the gods by singing or by putting prasad food in front of them or by agarbatti. So that is how the gods will wake up. Allahu Akbar. And every person can have his own personal god, so much so that he can even have his own personal god put up on the dashboard of the car. On the dashboard of the car. Now, how beautifully The Quran is speaking. Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, look, what is the matter with you people? I am inviting you to one God. That one God. Who? The God of Musa, the God of Isa, the God of Ibrahim, the God of Muhammad, the God of Jibreel, the God of Mikael, alayhimu salatu wa salam. The God who has created the heavens and the earth, that one God, the most powerful. And in front of him you bring these objects and entities. Have you no shame? And these are names that you have invented, concocted. There is no reality. There is no reality of it. Allahu Akbar Kabira. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting this forward. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, we have iman. We should make sure our iman is very, very strong. And we should be very proud of the fact that Allah has made us amongst the people of iman. Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi would say, I read in one of the kitabs, he said that there was one village. In a village you have simple people who were living. So in a village, you know, a small village where people were living, so there was a small pond. And it was always nice weather in that area. So the sun's reflection was always visible in the pond, that water that was there. So one of the individuals said that, you know, we can't see the sun in any other location. We can't see the sun anywhere else. But we see the sun that is in the water here, the pond, all the time. And in the night also we see the moon's reflection in the water here, in the pond. So now all of them were villagers, so they got together. And so they were talking. And so one of them says, you know what, I tell you that I know the origins of the sun and the moon, and I know where they are, and I know where they come out from. And it is from this pond. Because this is the only place we see the sun, and this is the only place we see the moon. So some of them says, okay, yeah, I think so, yeah, we can see the sun reflection, the light. So now they started taking the water out from the pond just to drain it all out. It was a small pond, so all of the water was taken out, and they are still looking for the sun and they are looking for the moon. So what they find is nothing but mud. They find nothing but mud. Maulana Yusuf Sahab says also, that today you will find people, how shaitan deceives them, and they have this baseless belief that al-iyazu billah, there are certain objects in which the light of divinity can enter. The light of God, divinity can penetrate and it is inside it. And this is completely baseless. This is foolishness. What is it? Foolishness. And that is how you will find that people started worshipping objects and people started worshipping other things, that you know what, the light of God is inside this item. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. How many people have been to the Taj Mahal here? How many? Well, raise your hands up a bit high, mashallah. Mushtaq, you've seen the Taj Mahal. Eh? So when you see the Taj Mahal, how it's built, and mashallah, what a beautiful architecture. And then you see this, the fountains that are in front. What are they? This long strip of fountains that are in front, right in front of the Taj Mahal. Now on a good day, you will actually see the complete picture, the reflection of the Taj Mahal in that fountain. Have you seen that? It's there, you can see it. Now if somebody says the entire Taj Mahal is in this fountain, what would you call him? Foolish person. That is why, my respected brothers and elders, the most pious people on the face of this earth, who are they? Who are they? A bit more, a bit up. Who are they? Huh? Muslims. Higher than that? Prophets. Who are they? The most pious people are who? Prophets. But even the prophets, Allah had given them death. Allah had given them death. Why? Nobody should even take the messenger and the prophet to be the God or part of God, al-iyadhu billah. And that is why the messenger and the prophets would always worship Allah. And in fact, they would show how a person should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would show them ruku, sujood, qawma, qiyam, all that would be shown. And so we should be very, very thankful, my respected brothers and elders, that Allah has given us this understanding of one Allah, and not just one God. One God as in Allah. What is it? Allah. Now let me give you another example. There is a man, a husband, mashallah, he gets married and he wants to keep the wife happy. And we should keep the wife happy. We should keep the wife happy and the wife should also keep the husband happy. It works both ways. It works both ways. And inshallah, it can work. So the husband decided, you know, I'm getting married. I'm going to make my wife happy. So mashallah, he buys for her a house, a comfortable house, gives her the car, you know, making sure that in the house, whatever she needs, carpets, sofas, good bedroom, decoration, walls, garden, front garden, back garden, everything, all the things, water supply, mashallah, gas supply, electricity, everything is there, computer, mobile phone, Wi-Fi, whatever she needs, it is all there. So when she now comes in the house, she is happy, mashallah, all the things that I require are there. So she is happy. She's very happy. Now, why is the husband doing that? So if everything is there that she requires, then she can focus in doing the right things. She can focus in doing the right things. If you don't have all the things, then obviously, you know, it's a bit difficult for a person. So everything is provided. Now, after a few days, the wife admires the chandelier in the house. Oh, it is so beautiful. And in admiration, she starts to worship the chandeliers. What does she do? She starts to worship the chandeliers. And she's doing worshiping. And then she looks at the car, and she admires the car, and she now starts to worship the car. Now, what would you call that person? If somebody told you that there is a person who is worshiping the chandelier, what would you call him? Pagal hai, kya hai? He needs to see the doctor, I think. You know, he's not well. You know, maybe he's a bit loose in the head. So understand now. This beautiful earth that Allah has created is a house for billions of people. Is a house for billions of people. And this earth Allah made in such a way that Allah has given all the important resources that a human being needs for his survival, everything he put in this house. So the food, fruits, vegetables, water, light, the sun, the moon, the sleep, the air, oxygen, animals, you name it, everything Allah put on this earth. Allah put on this earth. So Allah put everything in this earth for us, so that when it comes to worshipping Allah, there is no difficulty. There is no difficulty because everything Allah has given us. Allah has given us everything. Now, if somebody in this world starts to worship the cow, the monkey, the sun, the moon, human beings, Jesus, or any other building, mountains, you know, snakes, you name it. Now, when you start worshipping things that Allah has put in this house for your own benefit and you start worshipping it, what would you call that person also? What would you call him? There's a problem. What is it? There is pagal, there's a problem. So that is why we need to appreciate, my respected brothers and elders, that when you worship only one Allah, there is contentment. What is there? There is contentment. That's why in the Quran, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said, he gave an example to the inmates. He says, imagine, if you are a slave, would you like 10 masters or would you like to have one master? How many masters would you like? To serve 10 masters or you would want to serve how many? One master. You would want to serve one master. But Allah has made it so easy for, you know, the woman. Imagine the woman has only one husband. Now if she was given the choice to have four husbands, that husband is saying, hey, come here. The other one is saying, no, come here. The other one says, no, come there. 8 o'clock, you have to be here. Bichari, wo to pagal ho jayegi. What will happen? Imagine, what would happen? Islam looks at nature. Islam looks at nature. Allahu Akbar. Imagine how difficult it would be for a person if that was the case. But Allah has not given that to anybody who Allah knows that that individual may be weak or might find it very, very difficult. So Allah has given a lot of concession. So my respected brothers and elders, the benefit of worshipping one Allah is what? That there is great contentment and there is sukoon. What is there? Contentment and sukoon. How is that contentment and sukoon? I want to give you a few examples so that it settles in the heart. Contentment and sukoon. In one city, there was a lot of drought in a village, a lot of drought, and people had no food, no water to drink. People were suffering. And there was this very wealthy man. He saw that there was a man walking and he was carrying a lot of food, you know, a hamper of food on his head and smiling and happy, whilst everybody else in the village was in this sorrowful state, finding it very difficult because there's no water and there is no food. So this man is enjoying. So this man of the village who was wealthy, he says, you know, why are you smiling and why is there no difficulty on you? You know, everybody in the village, they are suffering. So he says, no, you are making a mistake. You see, I am the slave of that person who owns 7 villages. How many villages does he own? 7 villages. So this drought, you know, does not affect us. We've got 7 other villages. So I am the slave of that master who still has got control over 7 villages. So why should I, you know, be crying? I'm happy. So this man, he says, you know what? You have opened my eyes. Actually, I am the slave of that Allah who has control of the heavens and the earth. So why should I be in pain? So why should I be in pain also? And so that is why when you worship one Allah, there is sukoon. What is there, my respected brothers? Sukoon. A person will have a lot of sukoon. He will be happy. There will be contentment. That is why, my respected brothers and elders, this is great, great ni'mah. Imagine in the hadith it comes that when a person is doing zina, then the iman is out from his heart. At the time of zina, iman is out of his heart. When he is stealing, iman is out of the heart. One narration. Allahu Akbar. And when he is drinking alcohol or taking drugs, iman is out of the heart. And if it's Allah's will, then the iman returns back. Now, if this is the condition for fornication, then imagine when a person does shirk with Allah. Think about it. So my respected brothers and elders, this is a blessing that Allah Pak has given us. That we only worship who? One, Allah. There is nothing out there in any other denomination, in any other group, nothing. Wallah, there is nothing out there. There is nothing. Yes, you know, they can deceive you by, you know, their sweet tongue and how they will put things in front of you. But as the Quran says, you know, completely empty, baseless names that you have made up, you have invented, you know, a figment of your own imagination. There is no haqiqat, there is no reality to any of these things that you are talking about. The reality is that أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ, that there is only one, and that is Allah. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, just to conclude, has said something amazing. He says that on the day of Qiyamah, when those who died in the state of kufr, when they realize, when they see one portion of Jahannam, And when they realized that they were wrong and that the only true God is Allah and He is the one who owns Jannah and Jahannam, and the people of the straight path and all the messengers will be on one side, and all the people who are in the state of kufr, they will be on the other side. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, at that time, they will say that it would have been better if we were created as worms that eat impurity. What will they say? It would have been better that we were created as worms that eat impurity. And they would say it was better that we were dogs or pigs. But the reality is now that we mocked with haq the truth. And so this is going to be a very difficult day for us. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, in Surah Yusuf, in 10 ayats, the most important lesson that Allah wants to give us is that look after your deen, look after your Islam. Also look after your Islam and look after the Islam of your children, the school they are going. Don't turn a blind eye. Don't be scared of a person who talks to you otherwise and tells you, no, no, we are doing this, we are doing that, we are doing this, we are doing that. Monitor everything. Make sure that your child, aisa na ho, ke your child is going for 2 hours at madrasa and for 6-7 hours he is being brainwashed with nothing but kufr. Nothing but. You are the parents, you are the fathers. You dictate what my child should learn. You have to do it, my respected brothers and elders. Remember that the power of parents is very great. What is it? It's very great, right? If all the parents decide, no, this is what we want. Subhanallah. And you see. So this is what the Quran is telling us, my respected brothers. Protect our children. What should we do? Protect our. This is our responsibility. Not just for us. But our children, our grandchildren. What are we to do? It's not the duty of an imam or a maulana to open up a school. Sab maulviyon ka hi kaam hai kya? Maulviyon ka kaam tha bhai, unhone madrasa banaye, masajid banaye. They did everything what was in accordance to their profession. Anybody, mashallah, if he wants to serve the deen of Islam, can do good works. Can do good works. If they have the right intention, Allah opens the doors, my respected brothers and elders. So we have to be very, very careful. This deen that Allah has given us, it is amanat. This tawheed is the greatest ni'mah, my respected brothers. And even to my revered brothers that are here, Islam is not about 6 months, 7 months. Just like how marriage is not a one night or a two night or a three night stand. This is not how Islam looks at marriage. Marriage is a lifetime commitment. What is it? Islam, if you don't take Islam with you, oh, subhanallah, you are the greatest loser. We are the greatest losers. Not just any, as Muslims, we are all one. That is why namaz and these sittings and gatherings are very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inshallah, just one ayah translation. Then Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam said that, oh, my friends of the prison, one of you, the meaning of the dream is, you will actually pour out a drink for your master. That is the meaning. And for another person, فَيُسْلَبُ فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِ. And one of you, what will happen? He will be crucified. And when he will be crucified, the birds will peck from the head. The birds will peck from his head. And he said, قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. The dream that you mentioned to me, this is the meaning and this is decreed. This is decreed of what you are asking me. تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ, of the two questions that you put forward to me that give you an interpretation. And then what Yusuf alayhi salam did, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَ اذْكُرْنِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. And the person who he knew that will be saved, he won't be killed. So he said to him, listen to me, that when you go and sit with the king, because you are someone who's very close to the king, so do me one favor, udhkurni inda rabbik. You know, mention in front of him about me, that I am Yusuf, an innocent man that is put in prison. Talk to him being a king, not the minister, but the king. So he says, okay, don't worry, I will do that. So this is the problem with today people. You know, when you are in need, we are all ready. But when that need is not there, we forget. What do? We forget our promises. We forget what we were supposed to do. And when the time of need comes, then, oh yeah. So now, when this person was in prison, he needed Yusuf alayhi salam. All Yusuf alayhi salam said to him, just pass my message. You know, I'm an innocent man in prison. فَأَنْصَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. Now, the Quran says that this man forgot and the shaitan made him forget to remember Yusuf in front of the king. And because of this one mistake, that he forgot to mention Yusuf in front of the king. فَلَبِثَ فِي سِجْنِ بِدْعَ سِنِينَ. بِدْعَ سِنِينَ, the tafsir ulama have mentioned that he had to continue staying in prison for many years. It is said after this, he had to stay in prison for another 7 years. He had to stay in prison for another 7 years just because that man forgot to talk to the king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رب.